not to-do list, about how we go about finding that person or those people that we're going to use that leverage so that we can focus on our other things that we're working on.
Yeah, I'd love to jump in, say, if that's okay, because I love Jay's question. I think so many times entrepreneurs hit ceilings, Jay and Carol, and they hit the ceiling. They're like, I want to go bigger. I've stalemated, you know, whatever the term is, right? And I think the way to think about it, and this is what Ben Kinney taught me, who's my leader and mentor. He said, Via, don't think about how you can make a million. Think about how you can make 10 people their million, and you get 10% of it, and that's how you're going to make your million. So in other words, you're focusing on other people hitting their goals and you win together, right? That's success through others. So that's, I think, the foundational key to this concept of leverage. It's, you know, how can I, to Wendy's point, you know, how can I really make someone win? Someone's going to wake up every day and love to do the stuff I hate, and they're going to hit their goals through me. And actually, if I'm talented and driven enough and I'm the person that can make it happen, am I actually selfish for not making my world bigger? Am I actually not giving someone an opportunity to have that role and to make their life bigger because I want to play small? I want to play it small. I don't want to scale up, right? Because you think about how can you bless people the most, you know, in this realm, you know, bigger pockets business. Well, you know, you can give them amazing careers and wealth building and mentorship and income, right? And so I just wanted to say from a foundational thing, Seychelle can go into the tactics of it, but that mindset, that's what you do, Jay. The minute you hit that ceiling, the minute you hit that stalemate, you know, you need to think, how can I make 10 people millionaires and win with them? And then I'm going to hit my goals and they're going to hit their goals.
Love it.
I think that's fantastic, Via. And, you know, and I think something that all four of us have in common is that building our businesses and building big businesses is not about us. It's actually, we've grown it bigger because our desire to help more people has forced us to hire more people to then fulfill our mission, whether it's helping our clients, whether it's helping our team members. And so, you know, I think that's something that brought the four of us together was that servant heart of wanting to see people win. And that often includes leverage at home. That includes leverage at work. You know, I think the other thing that I would say too is this last year has really taught me some very humbling lessons of seasonality and to understand that we're going to be in times sometimes when we're feeling like we're nailing it in a certain area of our life. And then COVID hits or the market crashes or something happens and the pendulum swings to the extreme on the other side. And I think perspective is really important to understand that what just when you think you're nailing it, sometimes the world can change. And like in my case, I have a dad with really advanced Parkinson's. And so like I had leverage down. We had date nights every week. Our team was rocking. And then it was like all of a sudden we had a huge turnover in our team in January. And then COVID hit. And then all of my personal leverage that I had to go away. And it was like this huge seasonality pendulum, like, woo, man, it was like within a month, total slap in the face. And I think it was a really good reminder that we have to get back to basics. We have to take a step back. We have to understand perspective, and we have to then say no to a lot more things, build our not to-do list, and start the leverage game over. And so, you know, I want to encourage you guys, if maybe some of you have gone through this and maybe the last year has changed for you, that you might need to turn it back around, and that's okay.
Super. Absolutely love it. So who has something for me that is really tactical around gaining leverage that we can start doing right now? An action item we can put into place today to make this happen in our lives.
Yeah, Carol, I think that the big thing here is, you know, I think a lot of us are talking about where we're at right now with a lot of different leverage or a lot of different people, but it didn't just happen. We didn't just wake up one day and we had all these people, right, that are coming alongside us and we're impacting their life and they're impacting our life. What really happens is it starts with like one key hire. Right? It starts with that first key hire. And when you hire talent, they will then bring also other talent. And then what ends up happening is you sort of have this snowball effect, right? So that one first key hire is so important. So making sure that you're hiring that person that's taking off, focusing on that not to-do list. And then all of a sudden it's going to snowball into the next person and then the next person, then the next person. And before you know it, you do wake up one day and you're like, wow, I have impacted their life. they have impacted mine for the better, and we are making an impact on our world all together. But it all starts with making that first sort of key hire and then snowballing from there.
Yeah, and the thing I think a lot of people don't realize is it's terrifying to hire that first person. You're thinking, okay, I have to figure out the whole tax thing. I have to figure out the whole liability thing. I have to figure out all the documents to keep things legal. But your first hire, even your second or your 10th or your 50th hire, doesn't need to be a full-time employee. It could be somebody that is coming in part-time. It could be a virtual assistant. It could be more of a partner or somebody that is coming in and getting ownership in the business if what they're doing is worthy of equity. But it doesn't have to be a full-time person that you're now responsible for their financial life. And so you can start slowly and you get that first 10 hours a week or 20 hours a week, or you hire somebody on Fiverr or Upwork, or you hire a virtual assistant out of any number of places. And then when you get comfortable with that, you kind of ramp it up. Okay, now I'm going to do a virtual assistant 40 hours a week, and now I'm going to do a 20-hour person. So it really is. There's a way to kind of tiptoe into it and start small and grow from there, right?
Yeah, I love that, Jay. And I just would add that when I hired my first assistant, I put enough money in the bank to pay that person for 3 months, because I knew that if I hired the